So what's left for Hong Kong's democracy fight? That's the most valid question.
That question is being asked after a massive resignation of Hong Kong lawmakers. This is Friday, November 13th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also ahead, the U.S. president launches new efforts to change election results. The U.N. warns of a steep rise in another disease. Australia will investigate its own soldiers for possible war crimes in Afghanistan. All of that and more on today's VOA Asia. Hong Kong's opposition lawmakers staged a final show of defiance in the legislature Thursday before resigning to protest the dismissal of four of their colleagues in what they see as another bid by Beijing to suppress democracy in that city. Pro-democracy lawmaker Lam Chuk Ting briefly displayed a banner in the building reading, "Carrie Lam is corrupting Hong Kong and hurting its people. She will stink for 10,000 years." He described it as his last protest in the Legislative Council. The city's chief executive was not in the assembly at the time. Meanwhile, pro-democracy lawmaker Claudia Mo arrived with her resignation letter in hand while dressed in black, a symbolic reference to last year's anti-extradition protest, while holding a yellow umbrella, a nod to the 2014 umbrella movement.
I'm sad, but also relieved. Relieved in the sense that this council, at the moment, it's very, very painful to deal with because it's so full of fake speeches and it's so full of faux sincerity, fake sincerity. All they do is just being the government's mouthpiece.
The withdrawal of the opposition from the city legislature will mean an end for what has been one of the few forums for dissent after Beijing's imposition of national security legislation in June and coronavirus restrictions ended pro-democracy protest that began last year. But Mo looked forward to a different future.
So, no fight in the street and no fight now for the time being, at least at the legislative level. So what's left for Hong Kong's democracy fight? That's the most valid question. But it doesn't mean that, that's the end of it and we all go home and forget about democracy or human rights or any core values. We do not underestimate Hong Kong people, especially our young, because they are fighting for their future.
VOA Steve Miller spoke with reporter Justin Solomon in Hong Kong to get details and learn where the pro-democracy party might go from here.
These pro-democracy lawmakers were upset because of actions that Beijing took. Beijing took it upon themselves to take four lawmakers out of LegCo, out of the Legislative Council here. And they said these members are no longer members. They have been going against their oath of what they signed up to be, to support the system here. And these lawmakers said, you know what, you're kicking them out. We're all out. We're not going to stand for this.
So what was Beijing particularly, you know, upset with these four lawmakers? What evidence did they cite as reasoning to, you know, remove them from LegCo?
Look, there's a lot of rationale that was given, but one of the main reasons that everybody's kind of pointing to is this filibustering that these legislators have been doing where nothing really has been able to get done at LegCo. They'll stand up, they'll delay votes, they'll delay conversations about votes, and oftentimes those turn into heated arguments. And back in May, there was one that turned really ugly, and some lawmakers were even arrested over that.
Over the past several years, pro-democracy lawmakers in Hong Kong have lost the majority in LegCo, and pro-Beijing lawmakers have had the opportunity to push through their legislation. So with these 15 lawmakers who resigned today, you know, where does the legislature go forward without the so-called opposition sitting there?
Well, look, I think it's important to look back just a little bit, though. If you go back to the summer, there was a sense that the Democratic parties here were actually gaining steam and could potentially win enough seats in what was going to become going to be the election in September for legislative council. There was a real thought that they could take over majority here. What happened? Well, that forward motion was halted at the end of July when we saw two things, right? We saw a mass disqualification of candidates, including Joshua Wong, and then the announcement from the city's leader, Carrie Lam, that the elections themselves were going to be postponed for a full year because of COVID-19. And at the time, to be fair, Hong Kong was seeing a surge of cases. I think at that time it was nearly 100 cases a day, but many argued that was just an excuse.
Hong Kong experienced about a year of pro-democracy protests. So with these lawmakers resigning their positions in the Legislative Council, what's been the reaction in Hong Kong?
The protest movement in Hong Kong has certainly slowed down because of the national security law. Every now and then there are a few protests, or it may be better to say memorials of protests, where there might be an anniversary of a protest or an anniversary of a time when the police fired an excessive amount of tear gas. So some protesters might gather to remember that moment. And that's their way of kind of getting away with it without it becoming anything too big. But for the most part, people aren't taking to the streets like we saw before. And there's a real fear. People are afraid of this law and of the consequences of it. And you can look at the 12 pro-democracy protesters that tried to escape to Taiwan and were taken into custody in an hour in Shenzhen in mainland, and people haven't heard from them since. So it's worrisome, and it really scares people to go out on the streets.
VOA Steve Miller speaking with reporter Justin Solomon in Hong Kong. We're happy you're with us on VOA Asia. President Donald Trump's campaign launched a new legal effort this week aimed at stopping the certification of election results in Pennsylvania as the president continues to refuse to concede to President-elect Joe Biden. VOA White House correspondent Patsy Wiedekaswera has the latest.
On Veterans Day in the United States, President Donald Trump laid a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier at Arlington National Cemetery, while President-elect Joe Biden visited the Philadelphia Korean War Memorial. Neither man gave remarks. Trump refuses to concede after last week's presidential election showed Biden to be the projected winner. The president declared on Twitter that we will win. With the state of Alaska being called for Trump, he now has 217 electoral votes, while Biden has 279. A candidate needs a minimum of 270 to win. Three states have not yet been called: Arizona, Georgia, and North Carolina. On top of various legal challenges already filed in several battleground states claiming voter fraud, the Trump campaign has launched a new lawsuit aiming to block certification of the election results in Pennsylvania. Paul Schiff Bergman is a professor of law at George Washington University Law School.
It is possible that if they kick up enough dust and enough allegations and uncertainty, that they could potentially convince Republican-controlled legislatures to seat a rival slate of electors that are opposite of what the votes in the state and the voters in the state called for. That would be an extraordinarily extreme step. It would really be a coup against the American people and a destruction of the democratic process.
Meanwhile, two states are headed for a recount, Wisconsin and Georgia. Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger.
With the margin being so close, it will require a full by-hand recount in each county. This will help build confidence. It will be an audit, a recount, and a re-canvass all at once.
The Trump campaign celebrated the announcement with campaign communications director Tim Murtaugh saying, "This is an important first step in the process to ensure that the election was fair and that every legal vote was counted." So far, none of the legal challenges mounted by the Trump campaign has succeeded in providing evidence for their claim of ballot count fraud, something Democrats are eager to point out.
We are a week out, and the president is still desperately searching for evidence of fraud. He won't find it because it doesn't exist.
Even if Trump is successful in some of his lawsuits and recount demands, analysts say it's unlikely to overturn Biden's victory. Republican strategist Rob Stutzman.
It does appear reasonable what the media, both the left-leaning and right-leaning media, have concluded, that it is impossible for Trump to make up the deficit he now faces in key states like Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Nevada.
By law, state electors have to formally cast their votes for president and vice president in mid-December. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News.
You're listening to VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. The World Health Organization reports measles cases and deaths have soared around the globe since 2016. It reports an increase in cases to nearly 270,000 last year, while more than 207,000 people died, a 50% increase from 2016 levels. As Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva, many of those becoming sick are children.
The World Health Organization reports a steady and steep decline in the number of children getting immunizations against this killer disease. The UN agency says the failure to inoculate children on time with two doses of measles vaccines is the main driver for increased cases and deaths. It says vaccination coverage remains well below the 95% needed to control the disease and prevent outbreaks and deaths. Added to this mix is the coronavirus pandemic. Although reported cases of measles are lower this year than last, WHO says efforts to control the coronavirus outbreak have resulted in disruptions in vaccination. WHO senior technical advisor for measles and rubella, Natasha Crowcroft, tells VOA different strategies are needed to prevent new measles outbreaks in the time of COVID-19, the disease brought on by the coronavirus.
The number one action we need to take is to prevent outbreaks from happening in countries where we've got the highest risk. And there are several where there isn't the ability to, or the health system in place to be able to rely on.
Crowcroft says countries where routine immunization for children was happening will recover quickly from delays or suspended coverage during this difficult period. She says weak countries will continue to be at risk of deadly outbreaks unless swift action is taken to close this widening gap. The WHO reports more than 94 million people are at risk of missing vaccines because nationwide campaigns have been put on pause in 26 countries. This led to huge outbreaks in the Democratic Republic of Congo and Madagascar. 8 of the 26 countries now have resumed their campaigns. They include Brazil, Central African Republic, Democratic Republic of Congo, Ethiopia, Nepal, Nigeria, Philippines, and Somalia. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Now on VOA Asia, Australia will appoint a special investigator with the power to prosecute allegations of war crimes by its troops in Afghanistan. The move follows a four-year investigation by the government-appointed Inspector General of the Australian Defence Force into the conduct of Australian Special Forces between 2005 and 2016. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
The war crimes inquiry focused on allegations of brutality and the unlawful killing of civilians by elite Australian troops in Afghanistan. It examined 55 incidents of alleged breaches of the laws of armed conflict over more than a decade. It didn't look at decisions made in the heat of battle, but rather the treatment of individuals who were clearly either non-combatants or no longer part of the conflict. Criminal prosecutions and military sanctions could follow. Prime Minister Scott Morrison says the inquiry has been a long and painstaking process.
These are incredibly complex events involving actions and conduct in another country in a war. That is not a simple process in terms of the evidence gathering. There are language difficulties, there are international law issues. This is not a simple matter.
The special investigator will be appointed in the coming months to examine the report's evidence. Morrison said Australia had to confront brutal truths about the actions of some of its soldiers. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Thanks to our managing editor, Diane Dow, and our VOA Asia team, Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, and Doug Bernard. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Please stay safe and enjoy the day ahead.